Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. You may be seated for a moment. Praise God. And it's good to be gathered in the name of the Lord. And the Lord bless each one that's come tonight. Praise God. Somebody's given me several questions and answers. Not the answers. Wrong. They've given me several questions. I have to have the answers. But it's anonymous, and I don't know who they are, and they don't want to say who they are, and I can appreciate that. But there were several things said, maybe over a few services back. I wasn't preaching, a visitor was preaching. And I said to my wife that day when I went home, I said, you know, there's one of the things particular, I said, I don't believe that myself. And that's one of the things that somebody's put in as a question. So I can appreciate that. The overall things that were said, I thought was good. But you know, when somebody comes to preach, there's definitely things you can pick out what you mightn't agree with. There's no question about that. But when it goes really against the Word of God, when I don't want to preach about it tonight, I'm going to deal with it Wednesday night. We'll take them questions, the Lord willing. I'm going to go through them and deal with them. I want time to do it. But just briefly, one of them was Revelation 5 verse 1. For a brother said that William Branham changed that in the Bible. When you know yourself that he never changed it. And he couldn't change it. And that's not right. And I don't care who said it, I don't agree with it. I don't want you taking offence, and I don't think he's well at me saying that. But there's nowhere where you can find a statement for he himself makes of what was made. For I've checked it. He doesn't say it like that. And your Bible says in Revelation 5 verse 1, it says, written within and on the backside. And you see, then you have a comma, and the brother said that God, William Branham, changed that comma and he put it in a different place. Well, this is the problem, you see. If somebody can change the Bible, no matter who they are, what's the point in having the Bible? You could change it anywhere. And you know Revelation 22 says we're not to change it. Not to add to it nor take from it. And the Bible said God's word's forever settled in heaven. You can't tamper with it. It's what it is. Now them seven seals, there was seven thunders written on the back. And some people say there's nothing written on the back. The Bible doesn't say there's nothing written on the back. The Bible says within and without, doesn't it? And Brother Branham clearly says in the message, what missing their time, 1962, he says, on the back is the seven thunders in a mysterious language. That's what's on the back. And when the seven seals come off, them seven thunders is made known in this age. And that lets you know what's within. Now, I don't want to go into it all tonight. It's a lot of different things I could say about it, but it is true. But just to say that I agree, you cannot change the Bible. I don't believe that. And I don't believe William Branham did either. He continually quoted Revelation 22. Amen. And he said, don't add to it or take from it. Now somebody could say it by mistake. You know, maybe a figure of speech. Maybe they didn't mean it just like that. But that is the truth. You can't change it. And Brother Branham didn't change it. I don't believe that. And I have the time deal. And you know, your King James Bible's made up really from your time deal. And many knows that studies Bibles. Amen. For me, the time deal's an outstanding Bible. Now, even in that scripture, when you read the Tyndale Bible, in your King James Bible, it reads, and the Lamb on the throne, it doesn't read that in the Tyndale, it reads in the Tyndale, the Lamb in the throne. Because some people preach, you see, if Jesus, there's a person, and the Son is there as a person, like two people on the throne. But we know it's the Lamb on the throne, in the throne. There's one person. Now, there's Father and Son and Holy Spirit, but there's one person. And that person's the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know God is a spirit. Amen. Praise God. So you pray for us for Wednesday night. And whoever sent them questions in, the Lord bless you. If you have a question, ask it. That's what to do. Ask it. It's remarkable, really, what our brother John preached not very long ago, speculation. Everybody remembers that. And this is the thing, we don't have to speculate, and we're not to speculate, it's sure. And there's enough we have without speculation. But now, I'm saying these things, I'm not going to try and pick holes in what somebody's preached either. I'm not doing that. But as a pastor, I've been asked to answer these questions. So you'll have to understand that. but I have to do my best to answer. And I don't care who it is either. If somebody stands up here and makes a statement that's contrary to the Bible, I don't agree with, I'm not going to say, yes, that's great, that's wonderful, because it's not wonderful. How many agree? Isn't it the truth? Now the overall, it's the exact same when you look at a message. You have to get the overall of what's been said. Because you could pick faults. You could probably pick faults in a lot of things maybe I say as well. You know what I mean? But when some things are directly wrong, this is the thing I say as well. When people say, somebody said, did they say? That's the thing you have to check. Because many times you can't find it. And that's the problem. And they're making people say things they never said. And there's enough said what is true without speculation. Amen. Praise God. But tonight I want to preach on everlasting life now. And the Lord bless each one. Let's stand and we read John 5 verse 24. John chapter 5 verse 24. And while we're standing, a prayer request for Simon Peter. He's going to have the big cook-offs coming up. And he's going to be in front of a lot of people. And he wants prayer that the Lord will help him. Praise God. And I believe God will help him. And he's done well so far. I tell you, it's wonderful, isn't it? Praise God. Let's bow our heads while we have our Bibles in front of us. Heavenly Father, we just humbly and reverently bow before you tonight. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your grace. And Father, I pray you'll bless your word to our hearts tonight. Lord, that you'll help us have the right spirit. And that right spirit is the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Rid us of all other spirits, all other influences. We want your Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit to come. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come. We pray that you'll cover us with your blood and close us in for a time with yourself tonight. And if there's any not saved in our midst, may they know you tonight. And if anyone's listening in, may they come to know you as their Savior. And may they see from this word tonight that there's everlasting life right now by believing your word. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus' name. And I thank you that you undertake for me. Bless those that couldn't be here tonight, working or sick or laid aside. We pray for wee Jamesy and for Brother Keith and for the different ones that need your touch. We do sincerely pray you'll touch them and heal them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And for the brethren that had to work or is away, bless them, undertake for them and meet their every need in Jesus' precious name. Now, Father, bless our brother Simon Peter. I pray you'll prosper him. I pray he'll be the top of the class. In Jesus' precious name, I pronounce your blessing on him in the name of Jesus Christ. May you bless all they touch and all they do and quicken to them to do the right things and the right way in Jesus' precious name. Now, Father, help us with your word tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Let's read this and remember, if whoever asked the questions, it might not even be here tonight, I don't know. But come on Wednesday night. And I'm not saying I've all the answers, but the Bible has. I'll tell you that much. Amen. There's an answer in this Bible for everything. And if you search it, you'll find it, for the Bible says that. Praise God, and we believe that. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believe on him that sent me, have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This may be seated, praise God. And I won't keep you too long tonight. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is that there's no salvation without God's word. God sent his word to bring salvation. And by believing the word of God, we can have salvation. Not only can we have salvation, we can have it right away. There's no delay with it. There's no such thing as what the old people used to say, sit him at the back for several months to see if he's really saved. That's nonsense. When somebody really believes the word of God and really accepts the word of God, they are saved right there and right then. They're saved. Salvation right away. Praise God. He that heareth my words, men and women must hear the words of Jesus Christ to be saved. That's the real gospel. Now I want to say this again. I know I say it all the time, but I'm going to keep on saying it. There's only one gospel. One gospel. There's no such thing as we have a new gospel or another gospel. There's one gospel and there's one Lord. One gospel, praise God. And I thank God for that one gospel. Now it's true that through the seven church ages it was watered down and people brought in different things that weren't the gospel. We know that. And God had to send someone to bring us back to the gospel. But that's what he brought us back to, the real gospel. And that's what we want tonight, is the real gospel. Amen. Now if I pass a bit of blood out here, don't you worry about it. If a sore lip, don't you worry about it. I'll preach on anyway. Amen. In Romans 1 verse 16 it says this. This is Paul. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. On the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel is the power of God. So when you preach the gospel, the power of God is with it. You don't need to search for it. I remember going to England to preach in Sheffield, I think it was. I might be wrong on that, but anyway, I went to preach at this wee church. And there's two men came and they had a big conversation before they came. That they weren't seeing the power of God. But the power of God moved that night. And several people who were backslid came back to the Lord. And two young women came to Christ and got saved. In that very meeting. But I preached the gospel. And they came out and they said, there it is. That's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When you preach the gospel and people get saved, you are seeing the power of God working. There it is. That's it working when people get saved. Isn't that right? And not only are you seeing it working, Paul also demonstrated the gospel power when he prayed for the sick and the lame, and God recovered them and healed them and delivered them. And the gospel came not in words only, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And them things should accompany the gospel. They're part of the gospel. Praise God. And you know, we have really had a show. God has given us a real demonstration in the 20th century of the real power of God, the real gospel, and showed what it should be and the way it should be. Isn't that right? Just like in Paul's day, we have saw in our day. How many believes on tonight? Praise God. What is the gospel? Well, by divine inspiration, the apostle Paul defines the gospel as the good news. That's what he calls it, the good news. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. So the strength of the gospel is this book. That's why the devil's against it. That's why it doesn't matter who says anything. You know, not even a prophet can change this book. No man can change this book. He's no authority. And you remember this here. When the man came to William Branham and he says, Brother Branham, I am led to believe there's another Bible. And God already warned him and he said, they'll come to trick you with a question to see if you're going to write another Bible. And he says, no, it's already in this one. It's in this Bible what's going to come. It's not another Bible. So he never added to it or took from it. It's in the Word of God. And no man can change the Word of God. That's where the Catholic Church is wrong. They change things. They say things and there's no scripture for them. Therefore, you know what happens? When you go off the scripture, you leave the foundation. And when you leave the foundation, you're on quicksand. And you know what happens when you go on quicksand? You sink. The merry ground, it's called. Why, you don't want to be on the merry ground, do you? It's like a fella says, you could build a road in clay. Could. Work for a wee while, you've got a bit of rain. Then you'd see. The way that works, you need the foundation strong. It's not right. You fellas work with machines. No, you had to dig out the rubbish. Get it out. No matter how deep you go, you keep going. Do you hit firm ground, then you fill it up with concrete. And you make yourself a firm foundation. And you can't do nothing to that house till you get the foundation. That's where you start. And you can't leave. He built part of it on and part of it off, and I built a building, as you know. I don't know many houses I worked with fellas. Actually, it was hundreds of houses the same built. I laboured my men, hunting to them, and they built houses after houses. I don't know many houses, sick looking at them. And I'll tell you another thing about a house that's built too quick's a bad job. Just crack. Did you know that? And I've seen boys, and they built walls up this height. A good bricklayer. You say that fella's great, he builds. He's not good, he's a bad bricklayer. That's right. You know, that's actually right. If he builds too high, he's a bad bricklayer. Because when he builds so high like that, and he comes back the next day, and he keeps doing that, when that house is finished, them walls will crack, I'll guarantee it, for I've seen it. But you build so far, and you're only meant to build so far at a day, so high at a time, and you give it time to dry and settle, and then you go again, and you keep doing that till you get up to where you're going. But when you try to do it all at once, it doesn't work. I seen them building up like that, and the propping up the planks, planking each side, and the wall was near blowing. And they thought it was a great job for their pocket, but it wasn't a good job for whoever was getting that house built. It was a bad job, really. But I tell you this here, we went to a fella once, and we laid out the foundation, and you know the brick, you lay out your corners. You start with your corners. And you lay your corners out. And if you have a foundation, let's say that glass is in the middle of the foundation. Now you fellas know you don't build it on the edge of the foundation. You build it in the centre of it. Middle of the road.
Yes, I know.
It's not what the prophet told Barry Green. Stay in the middle of the road. Amen. You don't build on the edge of it. But this fellow, we laid the house out anyway. I can't remember what square foot she was. Maybe 1,200. She wasn't that big. But the next morning, we come back. And the wee bricklayer says to me, "No, it's been out of work." I says, "What do you mean?" He nicknamed the man in the house Noah. And he says, "You really see this Tom? I always got Tom." And he says, "Look for the foundations." Or he had them right out on the edges, right round. So that he could make the house bigger. Now he made her bigger. When he moved her out, he made her bigger. And he thought it was a wonderful job he had done. And the fellas tried to tell him, "You've moved her to the edge, it's not a good job," but he wasn't listening. "She'll do there. We want her there." But there was two moves he was doing. One move was he wanted her bigger. The other move was they priced the 1,200. She wasn't the 1,200 now. She was bigger. So Noah, or whatever the nickname, him, thought he was getting a few bits free. So they got to the front of the house, and when they got to the front of the house, lo and behold, she wasn't on the foundation, she was off it. She was moved that far. When we got to the front, there was no foundation. And the bricklayer says, "Well, seeing as he's that smart, we just build her for she is, on the clay." And that's what they done. And how she ever passed, I don't know, but she was built on it. And you know what happened? And he had a fancy round windy and all in it. They put a tire in. He used the tire to build it round. And I can remember it all. I labored till him. And the boy thought he was smart and moved it. And the two bricklayers thought it was funny. And they built it. But lo and behold, not 2 years passed, she cracked all down where she was moved at the foundation. Wasn't a good job. And he had her pinned underneath her. You ever heard of that? We dig down and put some pins in for reinforcement. I tell you, we want to stay on the middle so that later on we don't have to go back to the pins. But they had to go back, and it cost them a clean fortune. So all he thought he'd saved, he lost. Because he left the foundation. Thank God for the solid foundation. Didn't Paul the Apostle say, even when the angel comes from heaven and preaches another gospel, let him be accursed, for there's one gospel, and only one gospel. And he says, let no other man lay another foundation, for there's one foundation laid, Jesus Christ is the key, chief cornerstone. And that's where we're building upon the real foundation, and the real cornerstone's Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? I've told you here what it is. By divine inspiration, Paul defines the gospel as the good news. Good news that Jesus saves. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 to 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according. the scripture. In verse 4, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Twice Paul refers to according to the scripture. That's why the devil wants to take away the strength of the scripture and give you modern day Bibles that are not really a Bible. Never intended version. I'm sure you've all heard of it. NIV is the name of it. But the right name's never intended version. And there's other ones. Now, I'm not saying they're all bad. Maybe some of them's good. But I'm telling you, when it takes away from the deity of Christ, and when it removes verses from the real Word of God, it's Antichrist. And thank God we have a real Bible tonight. The King James Bible, I believe, is a real Bible. Do you believe that? I believe that tonight. And I thank God for the Bible. And Paul says here, according to the scripture. And you see, what we're preaching must be according to the scripture. Not according to an idea. Not according to somebody's thinking. But according to the scripture. And all that we're going to have and all that we're going to do, we must perfect to take it back to the scripture. And if it's not in the scripture, then there's no foundation for it. And it shouldn't be preached. But there's foundation for this tonight. Foundation for life. On life right now. Eternal life. Through Jesus Christ. There are the simple facts we must know to be saved. Simple facts. Here's four. Simple facts. Listen to these tonight. And I know, I'm sure most everybody's saved, but maybe somebody will listen into this. Four simple facts. We're all hopeless sinners. So bad that we are lost and cannot save ourselves. That's the first one. That's a simple fact. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the words of the Lord. But then the other words are, the Lord have laid on Him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So the first simple fact is, we all have come short of the glory of God. Now remember, my first thought is no salvation without God's Word. That's my first point of 4 points tonight, of the four plough on the night. Now these are four separate facts here. No salvation without God's Word. That's why the devil attacks the Word. Yes. Now here's these four facts, and this is still with thought one. Now there mightn't be any four facts and four thoughts. Follow where you can. We're hopeless sinners and lost completely without Christ. No hope for us. Church won't save you. Religion won't save you. Priests, popes, prophets, none of them will save you. There's only salvation through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this here is hopeless and helpless sinners. Here's another one. Christ died in our stead. Bear the punishment for our sins. Pay our debt. And is our substitute making atonement for us. So we were sinners. We were dead. We were lost. We were away from God. But thank God, here's hope. Christ is our hope. Christ is the one that shed His blood for us. That took the punishment for our sins. He took it. And He appeased God, the Bible says. He's our propitiation. Big word, isn't it? But it's true. That means He took all that was guilty to us. And God's pleased with it. Here's another thought. Christ rose from the dead, proving His deity. That is, that He was more than a man. He was indeed the God-man. And lives today to make intercession for us in heaven. And we heard this morning about an eternal priest. And the devil thought he'd take that out of the Bible. Everlasting and eternal priest. Isn't that wonderful? What's it say? Continues till a certain day. No, ever. I'm glad for that. He continueth ever. Ever. That means it goes on and on. Praise God. Here's another thing. And we're still on our first thinking about this. Four wee thoughts about it. The death of Christ for our sins and His glorious miraculous resurrection were as the scriptures say. So all these things we believe and all these things we preach is because the scripture says it. So our foundation's a scripture. Our strength is the Word of God. Our hope is the Word of God. How are we saved? By the Word of God. How do we come? By the Word of God. How do we know we're saved? The Word of God. Corinthians 15, 3 to 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Twice. Here's verse 4. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. And each verse he says Scriptures. Amen. You hear the fella preaching one time, the boy said he almost quotes the Scripture. Paul did too. Amen. Good habit, isn't it? Amen. What else would you quote? Shakespeare. Huh? Some of them's afraid to do that, but we'll leave that one. Wouldn't do you much good, Shakespeare. Shakespeare's no power to save. But the Word of God has. God's Word's living. Amen. God's Word is infallible, unchangeable. It's the living Word of God. Praise God. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 to 25. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So how could you take God's Word and say something it doesn't say or change it? You can't. You've changed it. It's a dangerous thing. I've already quoted you Revelation 22. Don't add to this Word. Or don't take from it. If you add to it, the plagues written in the book of Revelation are added to you. If you take away from it, your name's taken out of the Lamb's book of life. So when somebody says, a man took a word out and he changed it, you know that's not right now. But please understand that the man in question that he was quoting never said it. You can't find it. That's the thing you have to understand. God's true prophet would never point you anywhere else, only the Word. Isn't that right? Amen. Only to the Word of God. Amen. And thank God that's what he pointed to you. Like Paul, as a prophet of God, a messenger of God, points you to the Word of God. Paul never said, believe on me. Paul never said, trust in me. Paul said, I thank God I baptized none of you. That's what he said for the arguing what way they were baptized. But he pointed you to the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Word of God. Verse 24 said, for all flesh is of the grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away. Verse 25, but the word of our Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So if you're not preaching the Bible, you're not preaching the gospel. Can you understand that? Preaching the word of God is preaching the gospel.
Amen.
That is the good news. Praise God. By the word of God, notice it is not priest or some good man, but Christ is our mediator. And let me say it, and Christ alone.
Amen.
My, I thank God for that. No other hope, only Christ. No other was good enough. No other could go. It was good what our brother brought out the other week. For he typed it all out, how God, there was no prophet could go, and no angel could go, but God himself condescended. That's what the Bible says. He came down. He lowered himself a little lower than the angels. He took upon him the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16, the best verse in the Bible. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life by believing on the Lord. 1 Timothy 3, verse 5 and 6 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The Bible is God's word, God's authoritative power. I want you to get that. That's not just God's word. It's God's authority, power. It's the final thing. You know what Jeremiah says? He says, I watch over. That, talking of God, he says he watches over his word to perform it and to bring it to pass. God keeps an eye on his own word. God does. Thank God for that. To deliver lost souls from the devil. His promises are true and good. John 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them did he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon His name. So when you believe upon the name of the Lord, you receive power from Almighty God to become a son of God, a daughter of God. You receive power. I thank God for that power. No man could give you that power. Especially not a dead priest. Now you say a dead priest, I mean if they're not born again, they're dead. They can say they're a priest, but they're dead. Any man that's not born again is dead in his sins and trespasses and away from God. That's the Bible. John 3, verse 3 to 7. Let me read you these few verses. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, John 3. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born in the flesh is flesh, not which is born in the Spirit is Spirit. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's our text. Eternal life. Now.
No good to you in a month. Now.
Saved now. Born again now. And to know it. Praise God. Look at verse 16. Says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So there's only life through the Word of God. And remember, the Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we get to my point two. That was point one. But point two shorter. Don't go worrying, you'll be out early. Don't panic. You enjoying the Word of God? Now you'll have to admit with me, the gospel does you good no matter how many times you hear it. Because there's something about it. It's God's Word. It's God's truth. It does you good. Thank God for the gospel. Personal faith in Jesus Christ as your own Savior brings salvation. That's simple, isn't it? Personal faith. Not your father's faith. Not your mother's faith. But personal faith. Your individual personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings salvation. Remember our text from John 5:24, He that heareth my words and believeth in him that sent me of everlasting life. And in Acts 16, verse 31, it says this, And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved on thy house. Now, can we be saved different now? No. This is the way God has it. This is God's way. I hear people preaching, and I told you I did my wee experiment, if you want to call it that. I didn't want to listen to them, for I wouldn't listen to them. Waste of time. And one fella, he's on there preaching about, I don't know really what he's talking about. It's all about sowing to this and sowing to that, but none of it's about getting saved. And some other fella, he's on talking as well, and then the next thing, it goes way back to the 60s, and you're at a campaign with Billy Graham. Listen to me now. And you couldn't say one thing against what Billy Graham's preaching. It's in this Bible. And I tell you, he preached it well. And it was simple. And you didn't need a dictionary to understand it. You saw from the Word of God you needed to be saved through Christ.
You saw from the word of God you needed to repent of your sins. That's the gospel.
Isn't that wonderful?
And even though we have know all the truths, and even though we know the great things we know today, and we do, it doesn't change the fact of the simplicity of the gospel. We don't throw the gospel out. We need it. We have to have it.
And thank God for it. And all the great men of God, I could quote you them all tonight, Wigglesworth, the Jeffreys brothers,
all the messengers, if you want to go through all the messengers of seven church ages, every one of them preached salvation through Christ. William Branham said, God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. Personal faith in Christ alone saves. No other way.
Acts 16:31, and it said, but even the Lord Jesus Christ now shall be saved in thy house. Now I want you to know that these men are the men of God. These men are filled with the Holy Ghost. This is Acts 16. This is after the day of Pentecost. These men have the truth. And when we talk about a restoration back to the apostolic faith, this is what it's back to. This is part of it. This is the way we should sound. This is the way we should preach. We should sound like the early church sounded. We should preach the way the early church preached. We should have the works of God the way the early church had the works of God. That's why God sent a mighty message in the 20th century and showed it again. That's the way it should be. And preach the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what was the continual theme? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Believe in the Lord, singular. No pluses, just Christ. He's my third thought. One, trusting Christ immediately has everlasting life. Can you get that? One, trusting Christ immediately, right away, has everlasting life. I tell you, this is not one of these packs that you try for a week or two. See how you get on. This is real. This will change you. A fellow was saying to me the other day, you know, he said to me, I heard you were quite rough fellas in your time, me and Rock. And one, this big fella, he knows Uncle John here. John will probably know him. He sells stuff for cattle. He's 30 stone. Big lump of a man. And I said to this fella, I was giving him a hand, I said, that's right, we were rough lads, but we're saved now. And I says, you know, I was in jail twice. He near fell. What he says? I says, it was. I was in jail twice, but I found the Saviour. In other words, the Saviour found me. He says, boy, Tommy, that's wonderful. He said, praise God. He says, I was saved when I was 16, and I wouldn't change it. Now, it wasn't this big fella, that's a friend of this big lad. So he saved too, as far as I know. But his friend, Pentecostal man, thank God for the Pentecostal man. They're not like the day too much, you know. Did you know that? Amen. Near God, where are you saying Pentecost? Right. I'll tell you what, I'm Pentecostal. You'd better believe it. Amen. Father said to me one time, you speak in tongues. I says, I do. Says, do it there, do you hear you? I says, no, I wouldn't do it, do you hear you? I says, you're only a hypocrite. I says, you come to the meeting, the power of God moves, and you'll see and know the power of God. But I'm Pentecost by experience. Amen. But I told him how I could see him. I told him how the Lord visited me in jail. And he thought it was powerful. Rough man, but God saves rough man. God saves sinners. Paul said, as sinners whom I was the chief. But thank God for salvation. I says, that our big fella is a brother of mine. And I says, he did an awful outreach on the streets. I says, he's tailor-made for it. Go into anywhere at all you like. Gary can tell you all about it. Not everybody can do it. But God has certain vessels for certain works. It's like the wall. Mm-hmm. And the wall's all different stones. But every stone's important. You could be a quiet person, and you might be
secret times you pray and intercede, nobody knows nothing about it. But that's still a gift and a work from God. And I thank God for people like that just the same.
God needs everybody. Helps governments and all. The Bible talks about it.
So this third thing is only trusting in Christ immediately.
You have everlasting life. You don't have to wait.
Our text says half everlasting life. How can a person know they're truly saved? Here's a question people ask. How can you know you're truly saved? I thank God for the old Brannan woman puts. She put me over it every time she seen me. She never missed a chance. Tell me how you're saved. How do you know? And boy, I'd be thinking, and then she would tell me the answer. Yes. You're not saved because you feel saved. You're not saved because you get 2 inches higher, 2 inches shorter. You're not saved because of anything of yourself. You're saved because the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why you're saved. Because of the Word of God. Back to the foundation. Back to the Scripture says.
That's how you know. You can know simply by the Word of God. John 3:36.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
That's how you know.
And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Do you believe in the Son of God? I do. The Bible says you're saved then. Amen.
John 3:18.
He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You have no condemnation, Romans 8 verse 1, to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That means judgment.
Now, I'll tell you, that really means the death judge, you know. That he's power over you. He's defeated. Yes, your body might go to the grave, but your soul goes to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. He's defeated.
At Calvary, Christ defeated him. For me and you.
Sin will have no more dominion over it. It even says in another scripture, death will have no more dominion over you. Because Christ conquered death.
He swallowed up death. He defeated death. He took the sting out of death at the cross.
And he said, if you believe in him, you have everlasting life from now.
Here's my last thought, the fourth one. No condemnation forever for the one who has really trusted Christ. No condemnation forever for the one who's really trusted Christ. If you have a bad week, and you will have, all of us have had them, it still doesn't mean you're condemned. No condemnation. Because you see, all the condemnation was placed on him. He took it for you. He took your place. He stood in your room. He stood in your stand. He done it for you. He done it for me at the cross. He pleased God. He satisfied God. Thank God he bled and he died to wash my sins away. Thank God for it. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come on to God by him, seeing he ever lived, make intercession for them. Christ is able to save. But there's only one way. That's through the Scripture, through Christ. One door and only one. I tell you, the Catholic people in this country could only see Jesus Christ. And look past the old priestcraft and all the stuff they had today, and the rosary beads and all their stuff.
It'll never save them. And I said to you this morning, and I really mean it, if you have a Catholic neighbour, pray that God will save them. And that God will open that man or woman's eyes, for they're in darkness.
And we shouldn't gloat over it, we should pray for them. That God would have mercy on them and save them. And I thank God for the one true priest.
What kind of life do we get when we trust Christ? Here's the question.
Think of our opening text, everlasting life.
I want to read you this, chapter 5 of John, verse 24, from my Tyndale Bible. And I love the Tyndale Bible. When I get the money, I'm getting the whole Bible, whatever there is of it. I have only the New Testament. They're dear, you know. I don't know how much it would cost, but they're dear. And they're hard to get. But I'm getting one. I'm prophesying the night of one on the way. That's what I'm believing. Don't know when it's coming, but I'm getting it. I'm getting my hands on it. And when I do, I'm reading it. For I love the Tyndale Bible. And there's only two Bibles for me, the King James and the Tyndale, are brilliant Bibles. It's good to read Bibles, you know. That's the thing to be reading. The Word of God, isn't it? Let me read you this wonderful, it's very similar. John chapter 5, verse 24 from the Tyndale Version. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into damnation, but is escaped from death unto life. Isn't that wonderful? He shall not come into damnation. That's what I told you. Does not make sense now. That means where you're lost from God. Lost from God. You're going to escape the damnation. And you're saved from death unto life. Oh, isn't that powerful? Oh, praise God. Saved from death unto life. Saved. That's the most important thing in the world. That fella, I don't want to mention his name, but I help out sometimes, and he says he gets saved at 16. We're just talking about it the other day. I said, it's great to be saved. He said, I was saved when I was 16. And me and him both realized there we were, near in tears. We're glad we're saved.
Amen.
Glad we're saved. He says, I wouldn't change it. I'm glad I'm saved. I've only one regret tonight, that I didn't serve the Lord sooner. I thank God for salvation. I'm reading you my closing thoughts, and we're closing. Let me read you this about this governor from the Texas, USA, what he once asked the prisoners. This man was a Christian man, and he went and he visited the jail. His name was Governor Pat Neff. I mightn't be pronouncing it right, but he's from Texas, and he visited the jail. And he asked the prisoners this question: how long are you in for? One prisoner said 20 years. Another said 5 years. A colored man with a life sentence for murder answered, from now on. From now on. You getting this? How long are you in for? From now on. Well, I'm saved from now on. That's the thought I'm taking from it. Now, I know we didn't commit murder, but we were guilty of it. Guilty. Oh, aye. Born in sin, cheaper than iniquity. Separated from God. Couldn't come to God without Christ. But he says, I'm in from now on. And I tell you, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved from now on. From the moment you take Him, from the moment you trust Him, you're saved. And you're saved from then on. And you're not lost, you're saved. Not matter if you have a big week or a bad week or a low week or a high week, it makes no difference about the weeks. You're still saved. Saved for all time. Saved for all eternity. Praise God.
Amen.
Why? Because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. I tell you, when I believed God's word and bowed my knee and repented, acknowledged I was a sinner, acknowledged I was guilty, hell deserving, damnation rode over me. Christ saved me and delivered me. And He done it for all time and eternity. And He done it for you. I tell you, brother and sister, I know it's the gospel and I know you're saved tonight, most of you that I know. But you want to thank God the night you're saved. We have children that's maybe not yet saved. We have friends that's not saved and they're lost. I tell you, if God could give us a vision of hell tonight, I'll guarantee it would pray change our prayer lives. We underestimate the things God has done. Do you know that?
Look at Marcello.
Have any of you ever read Marcello's life story? He's an old man now. But I'll tell you, God used that man. And you know, Marcello was an orphan, wasn't that right? And he had a vision. And he saw in this vision, he saw these two footprints. And he was like up in the heavens and he saw this, like these two footprints. And he looked down through these footprints and he saw into hell. And people in torture in hell. And the voice said to him, Morris, put your two feet into them two footprints. And Morris, Cirillo's two feet fit up them two footprints and covered them. And God used that man to see people saved. God makes no mistakes. See, people say, but Billy Graham didn't do this, Billy Graham didn't do that. Let me just tell you this. I was listening to a message the other day, and William Branham was preaching, and he said, people say to me, they say, all Roberts prays for 500, and you only pray for one at a time. And he said, that's right. But he says, all Roberts is doing what God told him to do, and I'm doing what God told me to do. And he said, we're both working for the kingdom of God. And that's the thing about it. I can't do what some other man does. Neither can you. But you make sure you're doing what God called you to do. Make your calling and election sure, the Bible says. Whatever God calls you or me to do, we need to do it with all of our hearts. I mightn't be able to preach you the knowledge and the things some of these other men have. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't even attempt it. But I have a vision to see people see it. And I only need half a chance and I'll be on it. That's the truth. I have a feeling for it. And I believe that's God that gave me it. And my mum and dad at the back, they can tell you, when I was dedicated by David Greeno, we prayed that God would make me an evangelist. I believe God answered him. I've seen people see it. But I have a hunger in me tonight in 2018 to see more saved. I want to see people coming to Christ. Oh, but brother, it's all over. Well, why are we here? It's near over, but it's not over yet. We're still here. The Lord's coming again. He's shown us these signs. He's done all these wonders that we would waken up and preach the gospel to the lost and dying world that need Jesus Christ. And I tell you, this land step now, this land needs to move. The stuff that's in our country tonight, all that God would move us and visit us, and God would waken up the people in this land. You think about it, of all these things come in that they're looking. Men and women marrying. Not men and men and women. Women and women and men and men. And abortion legalized. And all these things done. I tell you, when a nation forgets God, judgment comes. Judgment comes. And the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Let our light shine tonight. And if there's a young person in this meeting and you've never accepted Christ, or you're listening to this message and you've never come to Jesus Christ, come to Christ tonight. Make a full surrender. Hear the word of God and believe it and respond to it, and you'll be saved right now. Let's come and bow our heads. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. For Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank You for the power of the gospel. Oh truth. Lord, your word says, for the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that we preach, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, we're glad that we can be saved right now and know it. Father, we thank you most of all for salvation. Lord, the best thing is thy salvation. Bless your people tonight. I pray, Lord, you'll encourage them. Pray you'll bless them. Pray you'll strengthen them. Pray that the Spirit of the Lord will go upon us and go with us and go before us. Ask you for great wisdom in answering of the different questions, the different things. Help us, Lord, to lead thy people. Lord, for all amongst us here, this gifted men and women, may you help them and lead them and guide them and bless them. And for the wee boys and girls, bless them, I pray, and save them young. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, if there's one listening in tonight by way of internet or way of a tape or a desk, oh Lord, may the great Holy Spirit take the word of God and quicken it into their very hearts and into their lives. And may they come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, grant that thou would do a work of grace in the life of men and women, and that thy Spirit would bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we pray for all our family that's unsaved, for all of our brothers and sisters in the flesh, and aunts and uncles, and all relatives and relations, and all that's near and dear to every one of us in this house tonight. Lord, we would bring them before thy throne of grace, for we may find help and mercy in the time of need. And we would ask for them this evening, that thou would deal with them, and speak with them, and save them, and deliver them, in Jesus' precious name. We ask that the blood of Jesus Christ be applied upon them, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Bind the strong within their lives, spoil his goods, in Jesus Christ's name, and speak to them and bring them to salvation. Father, touch people that need a touch in their bodies tonight. Bless the brothers and sisters that have the work. Bless all that's here. And Lord, bless us as we go tonight. And if thou wouldst tarry till tomorrow, we would thank you, Lord, if we could raise with the breath in our body. And look unto the hills, and whence cometh our help. For our help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, and all the fullness thereof. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. For there's none like unto thee. For thou alone art able to save and to deliver. For there's none that can deliver after this kind. Father, we thank you tonight for salvation. We thank you that we can be saved now and know it now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless your brothers. He comes. God bless each one. You pray for Wednesday night. And the questions, you pray the Lord to give us wisdom on. Remember, it's not to pick out this or that. Just some good questions that people want an answer for, and that's good. And we're going to take it to the Word of God and see what it says. And that's the way to do it, isn't it? God bless each one. God bless you, Simon Peter, as you go. And expect to hear good things. Amen. You believe as you go. I tell you what, the Lord will lead you. Praise God. You know, R.W. Schambach was praying one night, and a fella came up in the prayer line. And I'm closing, and the brother's coming, and he says, Brother Schambach, I want you to pray for me. And he says, he laid hands on me and said, Lord, give him a good shoe shining job. And he stopped Schambach and he says, no, don't be praying a prayer like that. He says, I don't want to shine shoes. And he says, well, you better be specific. What are you looking? And he says, I put an application into the firm and I want to get that job. And he prayed for him again and he says, Lord, it was with computers. And he prayed again and he said, Lord, take his application off the bottom of the pile and put it on the top and get him the job. And he says he never seen him for a few weeks, and he came back with a check and he says, look, Schambach. He says, look at me,